Welcome back to the One Shot Podcast, the Sports Gazette's official cricket podcast. I'm Michael, hosting today, and a very special episode because England have just beaten India in the first test. Ayush is laughing right now, but I'm sure inside he's crying. Ayush, how you doing?
Yeah, like you said, laughing and crying. I mean, it's just because I'm happy that it just makes the rest of the four games so interesting. We all did. I mean, none of us predicted a whitewash earlier. And I always thought it would be foolish to predict a whitewash in this series. But the way the first 3 days went, many people thought it could be that. The first 2 days, I would say, before it was an Ollie Pope masterclass in the second innings, and a certain debutant as well who got smacked early on but came back very strongly. So, yeah, as a neutral, I would say, as a cricket fan, I should say, because I'm not neutral here, a cricket fan, I should say that it makes up a very interesting test series going forward. But yeah, I'm worried for India right now.
Yeah, we also got Toby, of course. How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Ayush said he's still worried. He was worried for India. I'm still worried for England a little bit. I think it'll still be a tough series. I mean, England won the last time that England won the first test match and went on to lose three on the bounce. So, I mean, I don't think it's all sort of plain sailing from here, but I think it'll be an exciting series. And I don't think many people predicted England to win the first test.
Definitely. What a start. What a start. I mean, Ben Stokes has called it his greatest triumph since he's been captain. And he's described Ollie Pope's innings as the greatest ever in the subcontinent by an English batsman. So high praise from Stokes. Hopefully that's not the peak for England and we can push on and take the series win, but it's definitely a big mountain to climb. So yeah, as you guys mentioned in the preview podcast, we all kind of predicted India to win the series, so it's a bit of a shock. So whilst we're still very far away from England winning the series, how big a win was that for England? Toby, I'll start with you.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. I mean, I think it proved all the doubters wrong, including the three of us. I think England played, considering as well how far behind they were sort of at the halfway point, I think it was absolutely, well, it was just really impressive, really, how they managed to fight back. Ollie Pope in particular, I mean, dominant, not 196. I don't think anyone saw that coming from the halfway mark. And then, as you mentioned as well, Tom Hartley's 7 for on debut. Don't think anyone really saw that as well coming from the halfway. So I think it's just really impressive and kind of yet again sums up sort of how Bazball has been working and why it's been so strong, because Ben Stokes sort of never doubts and never wavers in what his plans are and stuck with his guns, and Ollie Pope went out and repaid that first of all, and then Tom Hartley straight after.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I was going to touch on Ben Stokes a little bit later, but that's 14 of his first 19 matches as Test captain he's won. It includes statement victories over New Zealand, South Africa, Pakistan, Australia, and of course, I mean, in my opinion, this is the best of the lot, this Test against India. I mean, how good a captain is he, Toby? And what do you think it is that makes him so good?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a fantastic captain. I remember when he first was announced as captain, I remember there being a lot of doubt about whether he'd make a good captain. I always thought he would be. I mean, a lot of people sort of focused a lot more on his tactical now. So, and I think he is a very good tactician, and probably one of the better ones in the England side. But I don't think that's what makes him a great captain. I think it's the fact that he is so stubborn, which sounds crazy because you'd almost sort of think that, you know, captains should be very sort of diplomatic and should know how to sort of manage people and play as well. But actually, I think the fact that he is so stubborn and knows exactly how he wants to play, how he wants the England team to play, and the sort of direction he's been driving them in alongside Brendan McCullum and Rob Key, I think because he's been so focused and one-minded, it's actually made it really, really easy for the other 10 players out there next to him, because all they have to do is just follow in his wake, follow alongside him, and he'll drag them to the places he wants them to go. I mean, I mean, it's been talked about hundreds of times, but what he said to Johnny Bairstow at Trent Bridge against New Zealand in that first series he was as captain, when Johnny Bairstow ducked a bouncer, he said, "What are you doing? Hit it for six over square leg." Next ball, Johnny Bairstow does exactly that, because that's exactly how Ben Stokes wants his teams to play, and he knows full well that that's the best way for them to do it, and it seemingly is, and I think that's why he is such a good captain.
Yeah, definitely. Ayush, have you got anything to add? I mean, he won the toss, of course, and had made the decision to bat first. Do you think that was a big call, a really big moment in the first test?
A good toss to win, definitely. On these wickets, when you know it's going to spin, of course, when you're playing absolute ranked earners from day one, which we've seen in the past few years, it kind of neutralizes that impact a little bit. Because if a visiting team's, even though they're winning the toss and batting, if India manages to get you out inside like 100, 150 or something, then even if you're bowling fourth, it's not really gonna help you, right? It's gonna be a uphill task from there. But on these wickets where the turn comes in gradually more and more, it's a no-brainer to go in there and bat first, try to put on the runs. Of course, this was kind of a low-scoring affair, kind of. You wouldn't call it the typical one where you bat first and expect to put in like 500 runs right away. But England, I think, did decently score what they did in the first innings, and more than anything, come back from 190 run lead in Indian conditions. I think this is the first time ever that India has lost a test, a home test, where they had taken a lead of more than 100 runs in the first innings. I mean, that just shows how big an achievement this is from Ben Stokes' team. And I think we're finally starting to realize, right, that it baseball is it's more than just about attacking batting, an attacking style of play, or attacking field set by Ben Stokes. It's about the clarity. And we did speak about this in the preview episode as well. It's about the clarity of thought. It's about playing without fear of losing. And that's exactly what England did after going down 190 runs. They didn't care. They still scored at, I think, 4.5 and over in the second innings. So they just, okay, we're going to play our game. Of course, it was kind of a grind from Ollie Pope, and it was a brilliant innings. I agree with Stokes when he says that one of probably the best innings in the subcontinent by an English batter. Definitely, I think it was better than Kevin Peterson 2012 as well. That's how good it was. But yeah, I think it's just that playing without the fear of losing, I think that's what baseball really represents. So yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you touched on it there. Ollie Pope's knock, match-winning knock, really, wasn't it? But do you think that makes him player of the match, or is there another notable mention that we should be talking about, Toby?
Well, I mean, I think Ollie Pope probably should have man of the match, because I mean, it might almost be the sort of the batter bias within me, but without his 196, I mean, Tom Hartley wouldn't have anything to bowl at. But
True.
I mean, talked about it there. Tom Hartley, I mean, unbelievable performance. The fact that he was so down and out, it seemed, at the halfway through after the India's first innings. He had been sort of battered around, hadn't really done much, took two wickets, went for 131. Not many players go for 130 runs in their first ever innings of Test match cricket and then come back and take a seven for straight after. Went at over five and over, sorry. And yeah, didn't really seem to have any control. I remember sort of talking about it on my TikTok and sort of saying how he really did just struggle to find any consistency. He would sort of bowl bad balls every so often, and he didn't really seem the different kind of option to Jack Leach that I think a lot of people thought he would be. Everyone thought he was going to try and bowl a lot quicker, and sort of attack the stumps a bit more. And I think he tried, and it was hard because Jaiswal just took him down early on, and he's a great player, Jaiswal. But yeah, again, I think it was sort of Stokes's captaincy that maybe allowed him to flourish a bit more in the second innings, because he allowed him to keep bowling. So he'd almost, because he'd bowled, what was it? He'd already bowled 25 overs. even if he'd gone for 130 runs, he already sort of knew vaguely how the pitch was playing, and sort of probably felt a bit more comfortable when it came to the second innings. And yeah, he just bowled magnificently, particularly as Jack Leach was injured and didn't bowl anywhere near as many overs in that second innings as I'm sure he would have wanted to, or Stokes would have wanted him to. Only bowling 10 overs meant that Tom Hartley really did have to carry, and he definitely stood up and performed.
Yeah, definitely. I think what you're saying about it being testament to Stokes's captaincy and Brendan McCullough's management, 100% agree with. In the interview after the game, he said he didn't really. I mean, he's probably not going to say in an interview after the game that he felt, nervous for the second innings after getting smacked about a bit in the first innings. But he said they got around him. They made him feel better, and I think that makes a massive difference. Where when you think about maybe in the past, you might have had a bit more toxicity in the dressing rooms, might have had a lot of comments, but no, kept his confidence up and he delivered in the second innings. Ayush, was he your player of the match?
I think I texted you, was it when the game just got over that I would have liked to see Hartley get the player of the match. But I do agree with Toby, yeah, that Hartley wouldn't have had the opportunity to end up taking those 7 wickets and bowl those many overs if Ollie Pope hadn't done what he did. So that definitely is a good shout for Ollie Pope to be player of the match. But I think Hartley just on debut, the second innings, the effort, especially after the hammering at the start, and his batting, I think, in both the innings was really crucial. And it turned out the way he got what, a 24, 25, and a 34 in the 2 innings that he batted. So I think that was crucial too, coming in really down in the order and contributing those runs, which turned out to be pretty crucial themselves in the end. So yeah, that's why I think it was a great all-round effort on debut in what is probably the toughest place for a visiting team to come and win a test match. So I think he deserved it.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Ayush. I think because of the runs he put on Tom Hartley, he just edges it for me. But yeah, I'm happy for Ollie Pope because he's just come off the back of that injury. He's been out for about 7 months, I think. Didn't bat well in the first innings. I think he scored one and he just looked really jittery. Didn't look good. So yes, a couple of nice stories there, kind of two players bouncing back from or first innings performances. So yeah, I think let's talk a little bit about India now. Ayush, that's now three consecutive home tests without a win. It's the first time since 2012. It's only their fourth defeat at home in a decade. It shows how dominant, you've been at home in the last decade, but also is the current form a concern for you?
I mean, we've seen it before as well in the last time England came to India as well, where India lost the first test and then ended up absolutely dominating the rest of the series. Chances definitely are that that's going to happen this time as well. So not really, I don't think the form that much, because they did pretty well and, for a major part of this test match as well, they were on top. So I think these guys, they'll just kind of find those wins as well. 3 matches in a row, of course, that doesn't really happen at home where you've not won. But I think that's not really concerning for me as much as now these injuries and these things that are happening into the Indian team. Of course, we'll talk about that, but it's just messing up a lot with the team combination. Those big guns who've got you those wins in the past few years, with Virat Kohli already missing out, and now Rahul and Jadeja are not going to be there in second test as well. So I think that's more concerning for me, where again, you've gotten replacements, even if some of them are inexperienced, they're still very experienced in these conditions. But yeah, these are some really big names missing out. And the going down, and this, I think this England team is very different from many teams that have visited India in the past. So I think this is not a team that's, gonna, they won one game and now they're gonna play like, okay, we have no idea how to go about the rest of the series. This team has now found more confidence after that win. They've also found confidence in the fact that it's not that they dominated from start to finish, but they came back after being dominated in the first half of the test match. So they're riding on that wave of confidence as well. Like you mentioned, you guys spoke about good dressing room atmosphere as well, all of those things happening. So yeah, I think this is a team that's not going to fold. So for me, that's the concern when it comes to India, where team combination now, as we're going to see, has been messed up. And we're playing a strong team who's pretty much up for the challenge.
100%, yeah. So yeah, as you mentioned there, Jadeja and Rahul have been ruled out injured. They're both huge misses, aren't they? I mean, Rahul, arguably more so since Virat Kohli's been out injured. Rahul's been moved up the batting order and he's been in really good form. I mean, but me and you, Ayush, both had Jadeja as our player of the series, which, you know, as always, isn't looking like a good prediction. But I think yeah, that they'll miss so much. But also from Jadeja's batting, you know, he was the highest scorer in the first innings for India, 87. Toby, how big a miss do you think those two will be?
Yeah, I mean, you guys seem to be cursing everyone. You said Virat Kohli is top run scorer and player of the series originally.
Yeah,
yeah, we should stop making these predictions going forward.
I mean, I'm feeling worried for Rohit Sharma next. You predicted him as the top run scorer, so who knows what's going to happen with him. but yeah, I think they're massive losses. I think KL Rahul is probably a bigger loss in some ways in the fact that, yeah, as you mentioned, Virat's injured already. And it means you're going to probably have to blood someone a bit younger in there at number, sort of number four, number five, just to try and keep the balance the same. Whereas Jadeja's probably going to means they're going to have to shake up the lineup perhaps, because he's obviously been batting in the top six or was batting in the top six in the first innings. And is very, very useful in that way. And he's a frontline bowler, which means he's absolutely worth his weight in gold. But he'll probably be a bit of an easier swap in the fact that Kuldeep's already in the squad. Kuldeep sort of knows how to play test cricket. He's a very, very experienced international cricketer generally. And is possibly going to be very, very useful in with the ball as well, particularly if it turns as it has done in the first test. So, I mean, I think in some ways that's possibly an easier swap. It just depends how India now want to sort of line up for the next match. And do they sort of almost risk playing Bharat in batting him in the top six, because I mean he batted down eight in the second innings when Axar was shuffled up. I mean, it'll be interesting to see maybe how they try and shuffle around, because I mean realistically Bharat, Ashwin and Axar, who probably bat what, six, seven and eight, are all probably a number seven batters when you think about it. So I mean on your averages it kind of works having the three of them there. It's just whether not having a sort of six frontline batters goes through the mind of the Indian selectors, but I think they could leave a hole. But yeah, again, they're gonna blood some younger guys perhaps who are gonna get their first chances at Test cricket, and it'll be interesting to see how they go.
Yeah, Ayush, who do you think those guys will be? Who's gonna come in their place?
Yeah, first of all, Ravindra Jadeja missing out is just a scary thought for any Indian fan. And especially now, like Toby mentioned, yeah, KL Rahul is going to be a huge miss, because especially with Kohli not being there. But I think with Rahul's position, that is, you know, we're still assuming until Kohli returns, that is, because if once he comes in, he'll slot in directly and we'll see if Rahul pulls up well for the third test. But for now, looking at the next game, the toss-up is between Sarfaraz Khan and Rajat Patidar. And Sarfaraz Khan coming into the team is big news, because this guy, one of the biggest debates around Indian test selection over the last, I should say, couple of years has been, why is Sarfaraz Khan not being picked? The guy averages almost 70 after 65, 66 odd innings in first class cricket. And he's been absolutely dominating the bowling in Ranji Trophy cricket. You've seen some of his scores on this current England Lions tour where India A are playing as well. He's been smashing runs over there as well. And I think, yeah, that those performances have played a big role in him getting this call up after Rahul's injury. I feel Sarfaraz will slot into that middle order. Definitely, it's going to be challenging because a test debut is a completely different ball game altogether. Doesn't matter how many runs you've then scored in first class cricket, Ranji Trophy, or wherever you've played. So yeah, of course it's going to be tough for him, but in these conditions, a batter like him, and he could really be a very good counter-attacking batsman because that's how he plays. He's not a very defensive or a very watchful guy. He can, get his teeth stuck in there as well, but he likes to play his shots. So the concern there is with Shreyas Iyer also doing something similar, but Iyer can play that anchor, the facilitator role. If you need a calm head, Shreyas Iyer can do that. He has more experience. So I think for me, it would be good to get Sarfaraz in there, tell him to just use this brilliant form that he's having, and yeah, just make the most of it. Because if he gets going, that guy can do some real damage. So I think Patidar is a good shout as well, because another very, very talented, very, very accomplished guy, I should say, in the Indian circles. But and he's been in the squad before Sarfaraz. So yeah, you do see a case for him as well, but I think it should be Sarfaraz. And with Jadeja, like Toby mentioned, that Kuldeep is an obvious shout that he's going to come in and play, but India will definitely be thinking about the batting as well. Kuldeep doesn't bat as well as Washington Sundar, who's replaced Jadeja in the squad today. So the concern with Sundar is that he and Ashwin both off spinners. You already have Ashwin, and Kuldeep is without a doubt a better bowler and a more effective bowler than Washington Sundar. But Washington Sundar is a much better batter. And, he's shown that in Test cricket as well, in the little that he's played in other formats as well. He's a really good batter. So that's going to be the toss-up for India, because you saw Jadeja's batting, how crucial it was in that first test, especially the first innings. So that's really going to be the toss-up. But yeah, I think they've got to attack more with the bowling. And yeah, I think Kuldeep is a fair replacement for Jadeja. Just leave it to the top six, top seven. It's not like your batting is completely in shambles without Jadeja, because you have Akshar, you have Ashwin. And Ashwin showed decent application in that second innings as well, before he just went for that crazy heave to Hartley and got out. But yeah, you've got those two as well who are really good batters. So Kuldeep, I think, better choice. What do you think, Toby?
Yeah, well, I saw some thoughts maybe that maybe Siraj might miss out as well, so they could almost shift it around in that way, so that Kuldeep comes in for Siraj and then almost stack the batting a bit, and you could bring in, I think it was before KL Rahul was thought to be injured, in which case you could have had KL Rahul and brought in Sarfraz as well. I mean, I think there's a few different options. It sort of depends, I think, a lot on what the pitch is. If the pitch is very similar, I mean, Siraj didn't bowl that much. He bowled seven overs in the sort of third innings. And obviously took the new ball in the first, but only bowled four. So he bowled 11 overs in the whole game. And I mean, you could very easily have given that to someone else. And I wouldn't have thought it would make that much of a difference. I mean, they could maybe think about it in that fact, particularly if it's going to be a similar pitch or even more of a spinning pitch, as sort of rumors might fly, as happened last time out England played in India. So I mean, that could be an option as well, and maybe then it would sort of balance the side a bit more, and it could actually work in quite a good way, I guess.
Yeah, I think they'll make that decision, like you said, looking at the pitch on the morning, because there is a good chance that they're going to make a proper turner from day one after losing the first test. So if that happens, then four spinners, that could be really good with Jadeja, oh, sorry, Kuldeep and Washington Sundar both playing, and add Washington's batting to that as well. So yeah, that could be a good way to go as well. But I think, yeah, they'll make that decision on the morning, looking at how much that pitch is going to turn right from the start.
What do you guys think that the pitch might look like for the next one? Because I thought this pitch was a great pitch. I thought it played well. It was sort of a very nice sort of balance of turn and sort of not easy batting, but if you batted well, you could score runs, which is kind of what you want on a test match pitch. Do you think that now that India have lost, they might sort of follow the way that happened in 2021 and go for a bit more of a sort of spin friendly one that will rag from day one, or do you think it might be a sort of similar kind of pitch to this one?
I know, I think they wouldn't be wrong to go with more of a spinning pitch, because we see teams everywhere make the best of their home conditions, right? Especially when they're put under pressure. They kind of put the opposition, turn the tables on the opposition. So they wouldn't be wrong if they went for that kind of a pitch. But I personally would like to see more pitches like we saw in the first test match. It makes things a lot more challenging for both teams. And because, I think it's going to be confusing, because they could go for a ranked Turner as well. But we've seen in the past that that has backfired on India as well. And then if again you lose a toss, and if some things do not go your way, if luck is not going your way as well, 2-0 could then be a really big problem. So I'm not sure. I think we'll see. But I do think we'll see more of a turning pitch, but it won't be those really crazy rank turners from day one.
Looking ahead to the next test, it's on Friday, the 2nd of Feb. Toby, how do you think England will line up? Do you think there'll be a few changes? Jack Leach had a bit of a dodgy knee in the first test. What do you think is going to happen there?
Yeah, I think fairly similar. I can't imagine there'll be, massive changes after such a great performance. But I reckon if Leach is injured, I would have thought, well, to be fair, either way, I think Jimmy will probably get a go. I thought he'll just offer quite a lot more control, maybe than England didn't have a lot of times. I mean, it was great in all that Hartley taking loads of wickets and Riam both Riam bowling well as well, but particularly in the first innings, they neither of them really had much control. Both went at well, Rian Ahmed went up 4.3s and Tom Hartley 5.2s, so both fairly comfortable and neither took wickets. And Joe Root was forced to bowl a lot more than I'm sure Ben Stokes would have thought he might have done. He bowled very nicely actually, and actually showed maybe why he could be the third spinner. As I think we all sort of suggested last episode. And I mean, yeah, even in the fourth innings as well, Rian Ahmed went at 5.5s. So he's sort of struggling a little bit. And I think Jimmy just offers so much control with the ball because he's so frugal that because he is so frugal, he'll bring so much more from that way. And actually slowing down the Indians is probably could be very, very useful. I think he'll probably get a game, whether it's over Mark Woods, or Jack Leach or whoever it might be. I think he'll probably slot in. If Leach is injured, I think that's a fairly comfortable swap. Mark Wood maybe get rested as well, but I think we'll have to wait and see. And actually, to be fair, Bashir, he's finally out there. And I think he obviously wasn't going to play in that first test after all the visa issues. But I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a go maybe in the next one or at some point later down the series. But it should be really interesting to see, I guess, what Stokes and McCullum are kind of thinking.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they stick with four spinners as well. I mean, that was the big news ahead of the first test that Tom Hartley was coming in. I mean, you'd expect India to be the spin dominant team out of the two, but yeah, they kind of shocked everyone with that selection. Ayush, do you think that will carry on in the next test, or do you think they might, add another? Swap in a seamer for, a Rehan Ahmed, and how do you think that might affect the tail of the batting order? Because I think Rehan Ahmed batted really well, actually, especially in the second innings where he scored a very important 28, which proved to be very decisive.
Yeah, I think it would be, of course, tough on him to be dropped just after one game. And I don't think England would also really want to mess around with this combination that has won the first test. So I think I agree with Toby, where he said that, yeah, it just unless yeah, they want to play that Maybe they want to rest Mark Wood and get Jimmy in, or Jack Leach is not playing because of the injury, and then they want to play both him and Wood or Robinson or someone else. But yeah, I don't see them changing too much. Bashir, yeah, he is finally there, but I don't see him playing this next one anyway, because yeah, you don't want to mess too much with it. And Joe Root has proved that he's such a superstar, isn't he? He just proves that you can really bank on him with the bowling. In that first innings, Hartley was struggling, Rehan was struggling, got a couple of wickets, a couple of key wickets, but he was struggling. And Joe Root came in and picked such crucial wickets. And I think it was his spell was so important in ensuring that India don't eventually end up getting 550 or 600 runs, and England could bowl them out for like a 430-ish or whatever it was in the end. So yeah, Joe Root has proved that. Of course, going into the series or into the first test, we knew that Joe Root is bankable, but with this performance, he's even put more kind of he's given more confidence to Stokes, McCullum, and the rest of the team that yeah, you can really bank on me whenever you want with the ball as well. So yeah, wouldn't be I think wise to make too many changes to this combination. They've been well, and like you said very rightly, that Rehan Ahmed is pretty decent with the bat as well. Hartley's already shown that he is too. I'm not really sure about Bashir. I don't think he is known at all with the bat. So yeah, this because these lower order runs are very crucial, as we've already seen. So why mess with all of that?
Yeah, I think it'd
I
be a
think
massive
Bashir.
shock if Bashir came in, wouldn't it?
I mean, I
What's
think
your opinion?
the one thing to say about that though is it would be very Bazball to blood Bashir so early on into the series. I
True.
mean, Ben Stokes and Brendan McCullum absolutely love a young spinner. They've had I sort of realized a stat that they've had three debutant spinners take fifers. So three spinners on debut in the sort of 2 years have taken a fifer. Before 2022, when Will Jacks got the first one, you have to go to 2015 when it was Adil Rashid took a fifer on debut. And before that, 1993, when an English spinner took a fifer on debut, Peter Such. And before that, it was in the 80s, and you have to go right the way back to 70s and even before that. I mean, I was having a look all the way back, and I think in 1960 or something, someone took a fifer on debut, and I had a look at it, who it was, and his skill set was he could bowl right arm off break, right arm medium fast, or right arm fast. It was really random. I don't know what was going on, but he seemed to be a bit of sort of jack of all trades.
Good stats. I like that. I like
Yeah,
that.
you can bank on Toby to get you some really interesting facts about cricket.
Yeah, diving into the history books there. Yeah, I mean, so in terms of team selection, Toby, what's your predicted lineup for the next test, 1 to 11?
I'm gonna just go. I think it's gonna be the same 11, except Anderson in for Wood, assuming Leach is fit. I
Right.
think that'll be a fairly similar swap. If Leach is injured and Wood is fit, I think Anderson just comes in for Leach, is my guess. Unless it's an absolute like Bunsen burner, in which case, if Leach is injured, you probably bring Anderson in for Wood and Bashir in for Leach.
Ayush, what about you in terms of India? What's your predicted lineup?
Yeah, I think we're going to see. Of course, we're going to see changes. We already know that. But I think it's going to be Sarfaraz, like I said, will replace KL Rahul. And I think, I mean, I don't know. Like, again, reiterating that the Siraj decision will depend on how the pitch is on the morning just before the toss. But as I can see it right now, it would be Sarfaraz in for KL Rahul and Kuldeep in for Ravindra Jadeja. Because, yes, Ravindra Jadeja's batting will 100% be missed, but it's his wicket-taking ability, it's his bowling that's more of a factor, and you need Kuldeep Yadav to fill in those shoes because he's very, very good himself. he could might as well be the match winner in the next game. So yeah, you need to give him that chance in these conditions. So I'm looking at those two changes right now. Yeah, I don't think they don't have too many options to mess around with the team anyway, because Kohli's missing himself. So they don't have a lot of liberty to change, especially the batting right now. I can see these two changes happening right now. And yeah, if it's a very, very strong turning wicket, like a proper rank turner from day one, then like we discussed earlier, get Washington in as well and just play Bumrah as the sole fast bowler.
One person we haven't actually mentioned as well for England, I realise, is Dan Lawrence, who although he isn't a spinner, he does bowl a little bit of handy off spin. It's a very interesting action as well. So if he does get a chance to play and to bowl, I would recommend keeping an eye out for it. But yeah, I mean, if England do want or are comfortable with just playing three spinners, including Joe Root, and Leach is injured, say, or they don't fancy Rehan Ahmed or whatever it might be, Dan Lawrence could be a good option to sort of slot in there, maybe in at number seven, possibly instead of Rehan Ahmed or one of the spinners. And you could shuffle folks down to eight. And actually, that's a very, very long batting lineup without losing too much bowling as well. If Joe Root and Dan Lawrence between them, which we know they can do, could get through a lot of overs. So that could maybe be an interesting option for England as well. And that might be more of a suggestion later on in the series, perhaps depending on how Rehan Ahmed goes and if there's any more injuries, which you assume there are on tours that are as long as this one.
Yeah, it's an interesting suggestion. I didn't think of that myself, but yeah, so it kind of seems like England are actually in a shocking turn of events in a more positive position, squad selection wise. You know, India are going through it a bit at the minute, and hopefully on Friday we can make the most of that and win the second test. So looking forward to that one. We probably won't do another pod before then. So yeah, we'll see what happens there quickly. We just need to touch upon some other very big news in the cricket world. West Indies beating Australia in Australia. It's a very cool story. I'm sure everyone's seen the video of Shamar Joseph taking that final wicket, Josh Hazlewood sprinting around the ground, you know, all the West Indies players chasing him. Amazing moment for West Indies cricket after, you know, a pretty tough time in the last few years. It seems like they're on the up, resurgent. Ayush, what did you make of that win?
So good. I mean, that was just that day was just Test cricket at its best, wasn't it? It was the day. It was the story of two debutants. We spoke about Hartley, and then it was Shamar Joseph picking up 7 wickets himself. Both of them got 7 wickets in the deciding innings of the respective Test matches. So that was such a great story, and I mean, just the scenes and to do it at the Gabba. It was such a big story when India finally, those headlines that India have breached the Gabba because of Australia's supreme record over the years at in Brisbane, and now the West Indies. I mean, India doing it is still, yeah, you can say it because India is one of the stronger teams. That the West Indies is going there and beating Australia at the Gabba is just a fantastic achievement. I mean, you saw the scenes, right? Carl Hooper was crying. Brian Lara in commentary got emotional as well. And it just shows how much it means to them and means to them more because of everything that West Indian cricket is going through right now for the past few years. And it's a huge win. And Shamar Joseph, I mean, with an injured foot, just ran in all day and bowled. I think that last spell was what, 9 or 10 overs, was it? I'm not really sure exactly what it was, something like that. And kept bowling. And just when you think Steve Smith's going to take them home, especially after that lap shot for 6 out of nowhere, and they need about just 7 or 8 runs, this guy comes in, takes out Hazlewood. And I think that it did, that run, Joseph, you know, the celebratory run and the team following him, I think those images and that video is going to be like one of the more famous cricketing moments in the years to come. So yeah, I think they showed great application and throughout the test, because especially the first innings, they were what, 60, 70 odd for five. And that moment you're like, okay, this is done. This test match is done and dusted. 2-0 Australia. There's no way the West Indies can come back. And then they just kept chipping away. They, managed to get past 300, managed to get just a slender lead over Australia. Second innings again. The target wasn't too much. It was just what, 215 odd runs. Even if it's the fourth innings, you expect Australia to get those runs. But brilliant. I think it was all heart, that performance from the West Indies.
Yeah, I think I'm right in saying Shamar Joseph was a security guard very recently, and he
He
quit
was,
that.
yeah.
Yeah, and to try and break into professional cricket, and it's such an amazing story. I mean, Toby, England toured West Indies. Was it just after Christmas or just before Christmas? Around then. Played a few ODIs and T20s, and West Indies looked really good. Shea Hope in particular, amazing batsman. I mean, how big do you think this test win is for West Indies? You know, they're kind of coming back as a big cricketing nation. They weren't in the ODI World Cup. How big is it?
I think it'll be a very, very big win. To win at the Gabba is a massive achievement for any team. I mean, I don't think England have done that for a long, long time. And I mean, yeah, India did it a few years ago, West Indies just last week. And yeah, it's extremely impressive, and it'll hopefully, I mean, I think we've said it, must have said it a few times with West Indies, that sort of victories like this and beating England in the ODIs and stuff should hopefully push West Indian cricket back to the forefront of sort of the many countries' minds, I guess. But it never really seems to, and it is always going to be the lack of funding that they'll receive will always struggle. And maybe more and more performances like this might encourage them and might hopefully push them forward. And yeah, I mean, they'll be coming to England next summer, so we'll hopefully be able to see the rebirth of West Indian cricket, which will be amazing. And yeah, they've got a very, very dangerous team as well. I mean, their bowling attack in particular, four or five very, very good quick bowlers, mostly quite young, other than what Kumar Roach, who's an absolute great of the game. And yeah, it's a very, very exciting time for West Indian cricket if they can try and sort of find a bit more funding from somewhere. And I mean, they're hosting the T20 World Cup this summer as well with America. So yeah, again, it'll hopefully try and sort of bring that West Indian cricket dream back alive.
100%. Yeah. What a win for West Indies. What a day for Test cricket Sunday was. Not so good in the football. West Brom lost the Black Country Derby, but you know, we'll move away from that and end the podcast there, I think, unless anyone else has anything to add. Anyone? No, all good.
No, I think we're
Yeah.
good. Because if we get into the football, we could be here for another few hours. So we leave that to maybe another day.
Yeah, it was a rough day for me. Oh, good and bad. England win, West Brom lose. Anyway, thank you guys for joining me. Thank you all for listening. We will probably pod again after the second test, I imagine, at the end of that. So we'll see you then. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me, guys.
Cheers for having us. It's been great, great
Thank
podcast
you.
again. And yeah, back in what, 5, 6 days, depending on how long the next match lasts.
Yeah, hopefully it's just as good as the first test. And we will talk about it and see you then. Thanks for listening.